Well, amen and welcome to today. Happy Father's Day. If you're tuning in on Father's Day, we want to just recognize and honor our fathers. Yes, we lift up Jesus as our Heavenly Father, and we recognize that for some of us, there's pain involved with Father's Day. And we just want to encourage you that we're praying for you if you're grieving, if you're hurting, if you're dealing with loss this Father's Day. But we also want in that to say that there are some great earthly dads, and we see you and we celebrate you today. Today, as we dive into God's Word, I want to know, and our live hosts would love to know, where are you watching from? Where are you tuning in from? Let's engage with each other. We'd love to say we're a talk back church. And so in this unique season, you could talk back to our host. Amen. Hallelujah. Give some of those high tens and high fives or worship hands. And let's engage with each other. For our fathers out there, or those that are looking or watching on behalf of them today, we also have this great Take 5 devotional. It's a free e-gift. Our host would love to send this to you digitally today. They're going to let you know how you can get this and how you could use it as a gift this Father's Day. So I'm Pastor Brian, the lead pastor here at Overflow, and I am so blessed to be a dad of four children. It is such an honor. It's such a privilege. It's something that I just enjoy because each of them is so unique and so different, and each of them present different seasons as well, as many of us as parents know. Here's a picture from 2019 of my family. And this gives you a little glimpse into us. You have my wife, Cindy, on the left there. So no, that's not one of my children. She has just aged really well. And then you have my daughter, Hannah, and Dawson, my son, Elle, and Jasmine. We are so blessed as a family. And as I said, there's different seasons. And I got permission from my son, Dawson, to talk about this today because he's going to be 14 in August. And he's in this moment in time where he is just kind of feeling a little grown up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just kind of growing. He's shot up about 5 or 6 inches during COVID. And he's right about here on dad. And so he actually doesn't have a brother. He has a dad who's young enough and crazy enough to mix it up with him, if you know what I mean. And so Dawson has been coming around the house randomly. He'll just jump on me, grab me. He'll actually come up to me when I'm sitting still and go like this. And he'll kind of pinch me and say, little muscles. And as he goes around the house, what he's doing is trying to assert what he calls his dominance. Can you picture this? A almost 14-year-old going around the house going and flexing and saying, I'm dominant. I'm the strong one, you know. Obviously, I keep my boy in check, but it is so interesting, isn't it? Because as I watch what's growing in him, and as I look at the world around us and even my own life, maybe you can remember that game as a kid on the playground, King of the Mountain, if you grew up in cold weather and you had that pile of snow and somebody would get on top of it and you'd be throwing people down to see who could be the King of the Mountain. You know, I got to tell you today, Jesus is the King of the Mountain. He's the one we look to at a time in our country and even in our community where many people are trying to assert their dominance. They're trying to assert their strength. They're trying to assert who they think they are and or they're holding on to the wrong mountain. I got to submit to you today, our God is a mountain mover. He is King of the Mountain and he is moving mountains in this season. I can't wait to share this word with you. So let me pray us in, and then we're going to be in Matthew 17 today. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. We thank you for who you are, Jesus. We thank you that as we look to you in the face of all the difficulties that our country, our community, and even many of us personally are facing, that you have something to say because you are the King of the Mountain. Holy Spirit, have your way. May your word come alive. May it speak to us, encourage us, equip us, and empower us to be the people you've called us to be. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen online? Come on, y'all. Give me an amen. Drop it in the comments. Here's God's word for us today, and then we'll unpack it. Picking up in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. Which, by the way, if you've been tracking with us in our Things That I Wish Jesus Didn't Say series, We've been in the Sermon on the Mount. Today is a standalone message that is moving from the Sermon on the Mount to another mountain and moment with Jesus that's just for us today on Father's Day and uniquely timed for this moment that I believe we're facing as a people. Picking up in verse 1, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John. He led them up on a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and they began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." You know, right now you may feel exhausted by this season in life. There is a lot that has happened, a global pandemic that has led to loss of life, economic loss. We're in a season where there's cultural unrest in our country. We are standing with our brothers and sisters and saying Black lives matter because they do. There is a mountain that is being shifted and moved in this season. And it's so important that we don't fall in to what's happening without finding Jesus in the middle of it as the king of the mountain. Some of us are going to realize we've been trying to climb the wrong mountain. That in fact, did you know we can spend much of our life chasing and pursuing and realizing later in life that we've climbed the wrong mountain? God is a mountain mover and he is moving mountains in our life. And today is a recalibration, a moment to make sure that we see him and that we're climbing the right mountain, but also living the way he wants us to in the valley. A year ago, I had an opportunity as I turned 40, I'm 41 now, as I turned 40, to read a book somebody recommended called The Second Mountain by David Brooks. It helped me to begin to see, as he says, that there's four main commitments in our life: to a job, to a faith, to a family or friends, and fourthly, to a community. And I began to realize that God was saying, "Yes, I want you to be committed. I want you to not only be committed in these four ways, but I want you to give your life to this and follow me and be who I've created you to be." You see, much of what you're going to hear today is a calling to see Jesus and see the life he's called you to clearly. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4, as we read, it says that Jesus was 6 days after he declared that he would die, that he would be raised again. 6 days later, after this tough message, he goes up on a mountain with a couple of friends. As he's there, Elijah and Moses appear, and Peter exclaims, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here." He wants to worship there. He wants to sit there. He wants to stay in that moment. Here's what mountaintops provide if you're taking notes. They provide fresh vision of our King. You see, there was a fresh vision that Peter and the others could catch and see because they saw Jesus for who he was. You see, Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just another rabbi. He wasn't just a healer or a deliverer. He is and is today the Son of God, the King of Kings. You see a moment where Elijah and Moses are there and they get this fresh vision because out of Jesus, from the inside out, shines light. A light that is pure, a light that is holy. That is what we need to recognize of who Jesus is. He is holy, he is pure, he is powerful, and he is able. He is our King. I love that they made time to encounter God. I love that they had stepped outside of the crowds, outside of all of the hustle and bustle, and they had spent some time on a mountain with Jesus. Jesus, in fact, pursued the Father and was spending time with God. Are you taking advantage in this season of saying everything's been stripped away, everything that I was used to is gone, everything that I know seems to have changed. Are you finding God in this and making time for him? Because we all need a fresh vision of the King in this season. We all need a fresh vision of who Jesus is. You see, mountaintop encounters are meant to transform our daily experiences. As they encounter Jesus and who he really is, he would in fact lead them from that moment to transformation. Let me show you this in the text. It said that you had Moses there. Moses was a leader they would have looked to. He was a prophet and a leader. And in Exodus 19, he had a mountaintop moment. He had many, but here's one. Picking up in verse 3, it says, "Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you," he says to God's people, "will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So Moses represents the law. Moses represents on the mountain what was given to him was the law, which, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, means that God, in fact, said the summary of the law is to love God and love your neighbor. That is fulfilled in Moses and then ultimately in Jesus. How are you doing? How are you doing with loving your God, loving God and loving your neighbor? It's a hard question right now, isn't it? But it's one in a place like Overflow, a place with a church for all people that presses us into who Jesus is and who he is and what he represented for us through Moses, that we are to love God and love our neighbor and to obey him. But it didn't end there because Elijah was present. Elijah actually had a mountaintop experience. His was on Mount Carmel. And in that moment, he engaged with false gods. He engaged with false prophets. He engaged with the idols and the systems of the day. And he declared and showed who our God really is. Let me read to you just a few verses out of 1 Kings 18. It says, "When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, 'So it is really you, you troublemaker of Israel.'" He's talking to Elijah. "'I have made no trouble for Israel,' Elijah replied. 'You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel.' So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and he said, 'How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him.' But the people were completely silent." Don't be silent online right now. Let us know that you're here. Let us know that you're saying, "Yes, I can see that there are false gods, there are false idols, that there are things that we have pushed up and lifted up that aren't centered on Jesus, our King." What Elijah does next is incredible. He creates an altar. He sets the sacrifice on the altar. He pours water over it, not once, but twice, three times, fills it with water. As this altar is filled with water, what the prophets, the false prophets, could not do, he did in a moment because he called on God. And God's power was demonstrated in a fire that lit up the entire offering and consumed everything not of him in that moment. When Peter and the disciples are now with Jesus, can you imagine what they felt? Here's Moses. Here's Elijah. We know what God has done with them. We know the power that was present. And now there's Jesus, who seems to be shining even brighter than the two of them. Because Jesus had come to fulfill it. He had come to fulfill it in a way that God's power, God's spirit had been on Moses and had been on Elijah, but now they were seeing that it was in Jesus. And here's what's so incredible. We may feel like Peter did in that moment. I want to hang out here. I want to sit in this. I want to enjoy this. I want that mountaintop experience with God. And I'm telling you, he has them for us. But in that moment, Jesus was showing them something so much greater and more powerful. You see, what he was demonstrating was from the inside out, God is a God of transformation, that his spirit shines out of us. If they would have stayed on that mountain, Jesus would have never come down with them. He would have never then gone up on a cross and been resurrected, which then opened for us the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was on Moses, on Elijah, and in Jesus is now available to you and I. Think about that, because in this time we live in, there is so much we're doing in our own strength, so much we're doing that is missing the power of God, that is missing the move of God. We aren't the ones that move the mountains. We aren't the ones that are meant to climb the mountains. We're meant to do it with Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation today to realize that not only is it a fresh vision of Jesus, but it's a fresh vision of life with Jesus that is unfolding here. Let me read to you verses 5 through 9. It says, "But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him.' The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. 'Get up,' he said. 'Don't be afraid.' And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone." Why? Because their work had been fulfilled now in Jesus. And they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." You see, to have a fresh vision of life with Jesus is to realize that mountaintop experiences are meant to fuel our passion for following Jesus. That when we encounter him on the mountaintop, when we have moments with him, it's meant to fuel how we live during the week. And Church of Jesus Christ, it is time for us to wake up. It is time for us to rise. We have been caught in a moment in time where many of us had got very comfortable in our Christianity and in our faith. We are in a moment in time where we had got comfortable coming to church as a building and as a service and as an experience. And while those things are a part of our faith, they're not the only thing. They're not the main thing. Because all of this that we do together on the weekend is meant to fuel how we live during the week. We have an opportunity coming in front of us that I'm looking forward to sharing with you this Wednesday at 7:30. We're going to talk about our survey results and our regathering plan and what phase 2 looks like and what's coming. But here's what I want you to hear from me. I'm going to just sit in this for a moment with you. The last thing that I want to see happen for us as a church is that we rush back to the way things were. That we rush back to being comfortable and gathered together and thinking that only the weekend matters. Because what you see here is Jesus saying no, and the Father saying, "Follow him down. Follow him down and listen to him." That's something we're supposed to be doing on the daily, on the regular. He's not just a weekend God. He's an everyday God. So what does it mean for us to listen to him? As I mentioned, I'm a parent. I have 4 children. They hear me. They don't always listen. Are you tracking with me? There are moments where I know my kids hear me, they hear my voice, but they aren't listening. The Father says to not just hear Jesus, but to listen. What's the difference between hearing and listening? It's whether or not we follow, whether or not we obey, whether or not we say, "Yes, Jesus, I'll do what you're asking me to do." Are you listening? Are you listening to him? And here's what I recognize, is that for many of us, What keeps us from following him is fear. You see, we want to be a people that are following him, following Jesus without fear. There's a faith that grows, a love that wells up inside of us that says, I will follow him without fear. And I believe that right now that's a word many of us need to hear. Here's what was going on in the text is, yes, Peter is saying, I want to pitch a tent. I want to hang out. I want to be in this moment. And I believe that scholarship would support that that's one thing that may have been going on that mountain. But I also believe that there's a second very important thing. Because when they recognized the presence of God, they fell on their faces in fear and they worshiped. And here's what we need to recognize, that God's presence throughout Scripture caused fear in the people, a holy, reverent fear for God and who he was. They had the tabernacle, they had the tents, they later would have the temple, and this is a moment where I think in some ways what Peter was trying to do was to domesticate the presence of God, to say, I'm afraid of the presence, I'm afraid of it, I don't know what's going to happen right now, so let's build memorials, let's build tents to house the presence of God. And I wonder how many of us, because of our fear of following him, have tried to domesticate Jesus, have tried to tame the Holy Spirit, have in fact missed what God had for us because of fear. You see, what would happen next was so incredible. Jesus would go down the mountain, then go up on the cross. The veil of the temple at his death was torn in two, meaning that the Holy Spirit could now be offered to each and every believer, to you and I. This is an adventure when we follow Jesus. This is something that is so much greater than anything we may have been taught or even experienced in the Christian walk. You see, the King of the Mountain is calling each of us to listen to him and to follow him. I believe in this season, there are miracles that God wants to do. There are relationships he wants to heal. There are barriers between people. You know, in the New Testament, it was Jew and Gentile. Right now in America, in many ways, it can feel that it's Caucasian versus African American. And I want to tell you, in Christ, he is able. He calls us to love one another, walk with one another, serve one another, and to be one together. Are we listening and following him without fear? Are we letting go of the mountain? Are we letting go of the things in our life to trust and surrender to Jesus? Because that's where the adventure begins. Did you catch at the beginning of verse 1? It said 6 days later. 6 days later, Jesus had made this statement and had this moment on the mountain with Peter and the others. What did he say a few days earlier? Let me share it with you to close here in Matthew 16. In verses 24 to 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Jesus is calling us to see him as the King of the Mountain, to listen to him and to follow him without fear. But we're going to have to take up our cross. We're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to let go of the things that many of us have been holding on to. And if the global pandemic didn't allow us to let go, now's our opportunity. What will it take for us to surrender and to say, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you"? Because that's the season we're in, church. That's the season we're in. It's a season where I believe as God moves mountains, he's looking for a people that will say, "I will take up my cross without fear. I will listen and I will follow. I may not have all the answers. I may not know exactly what to do, but he does. And because he's with me and because he's able, I will walk with Jesus into whatever he has." I want to show you a picture. As I've mentioned, in the past here at Overflow. I've got a brother that's a pastor too. It's crazy. Two very unlikely guys that both probably in many ways should be dead or in jail, found Jesus, and now get to share Jesus with others. Here's a picture of us from 20 years ago. My brother and I were both athletes. As we got into college, my brother actually really engaged with outdoor adventure, rock climbing, snow cave habitating, I don't know what the right word is, whitewater rafting, all of these things. I remember when I got the invitation to go with him to the mountains of West Virginia to do some rock climbing and some whitewater rafting, because I remember it because I am not a fan of heights. I do not like heights. I get nervous. My legs freeze up. It's not a pretty picture for a guy my size. And so I can remember when he asked, and you know, I can also remember the thought in my head was, I wouldn't go with anyone else. I wouldn't trust anyone else. I would not feel peaceful with anyone else. But because it's him and I trust him, I'll go. And I went on this trip with him, and I had such an amazing time. Yeah, my legs shook, but as long as he had me in the harness and he tied the knots and he was belaying me, I was good. And I enjoyed it and had an adventure I'll never forget. Can you see the connection? For many of us, we've been climbing the round mountain. We've been afraid to follow Jesus. And I believe the invitation that he's given us today is to say, I have more for you. That I have more for you. That the King of the mountain has more for us as we passionately follow him. That Jesus, in fact, is saying, will you trust me? I've got you. Will you follow me? I've got you. I will be with you. It won't all be on you. I will show up in those moments of pain. I will show up in those moments of victory. I will give you the words to share with your neighbor and with your coworker. I will be with you. Will you come enjoy the adventure? Right now, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've been around the things of God but have missed Jesus, he is the answer. He is the reason. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He invites us to follow him, to receive forgiveness for our sins, and to follow him. So we're going to pray together to receive Jesus. And for some of you, you've prayed the prayer, but this needs to be a prayer of recommitment. To say that I'm recommitting my life, that it's not just about my forgiveness of sins, but it's about me committing to following Jesus and trusting him, listening to him. The King of the mountain is moving. And I believe there's some of you right now that his spirit is speaking to you. So we're going to pray, and you can repeat after me as we pray to receive Jesus. Father, we love you, and we praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor. Right now, for those that are ready to receive you and to follow you, I just want to pray this, that they could just confess as well, wherever they're watching this. Jesus, I love you. I believe that you are the Son of God that died and rose again for my sins. I confess that I've been the king of my own mountain, that I haven't been listening or following you. Right now, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Wash over me and make me new. I've decided today to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you just prayed that with us, let our live hosts know. Let them know. There's probably something to click, or you can drop a comment. We are here to celebrate with you, because all of heaven celebrates, Scripture says, when even just one person makes a decision to follow Jesus. For others that heard that prayer or maybe recommitted, I just want to let you know, hey, we've got Lake Baptism coming up on August 2nd. And we want to encourage you that's a step of following Jesus. So sign up today. Let us know. Reach out with a comment or an email to info@overflowchurch.org. We'd love to have you be a part of baptism and declaring publicly that I have decided to follow King Jesus. He is the King of the mountain, and it is time now for us to praise Him, for us to worship Him together. So if you're able and it's safe, come on. I've got energy. I know you've got some in you too. Stand up right where you're at, and let's praise Him. Let's worship Him, because we don't have to be gathered together. The scattered church, the sent church, is just as empowered to worship Him and to be a witness, because His Holy Spirit is with us. Let's worship Him. Drop those comments, praises, and hallelujahs. It is time to worship the King of the mountain. Amen, amen, and happy Father's Day as well.